You are listening to The Alouettes Flight Deck, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
All right, folks, we've been cleared for takeoff.
I'm gonna be iconic.
Yeah!
And welcome to the Alouettes Flight Deck, podcast dedicated to Montreal Alouettes football. I am Tim Capper, along with Cliffy D. How you doing, buddy?
Doing excellent. It's another beautiful day in the 514 and ready to keep talking about football, even though, as I said, last week, I think I said we were rounding third and heading for home. It's like we're still heading for home because, like, I guess one way to look at it is this is the last month without CFL football. Because once May hits, the draft, training camp, all that good stuff, we'll be back in the swing of things before you know it.
Exactly. And I think compared to last show where we were dealing with that snow, that snowstorm, I was like, well, what a difference 2 weeks makes, eh? I mean, it's still a little nippy here, as I said, on the island of Montreal, but it's getting warmer. I can't wait. We will be, you know, we'll already be at camp in a month, so I can't wait.
Oh, so exciting. So exciting. So yeah, let's get into it. Let's talk some football. And why don't we start by letting our great listeners / viewers know about our presenting sponsor, SportBuff.
Yes, they are our presenting sponsor. We love having them on board. If you do head over to sportbuffshop.com and use the promo code OWLSFLIGHTDECK10 at checkout, you will save 10% off your entire order. Can let you know that I did speak with Chris and Gary this week over at SportBuff, and they're going to be letting me know very shortly when we're going to be able to find new 2024 CFL merch on the website. And we'll make sure that we let you guys know, whether it be here on the show or through all of our socials. Because again, once you have that code, you'll be able to use it and save on that new 2024 merch. And as usual, Cliff, we always want to make sure that everybody supports local, right?
100%. Support local. We're local. They're local. I mean, that's really what it's all about, folks, is just get out there and support your local merchants.
Exactly. It was, you know, you and I are always going back and forth, I think it's the biggest running joke from time to time, Cliff, that we always say we don't have enough to talk about. It's going to be a very short show this week, and no, that never happens. but luckily this week, and I think since you were the one who came up with the idea, I think you should let everybody know who we're going to be having on this week, and we'll be speaking with him very, very shortly. But who's our interview going to be with?
Well, we were very excited with the CFL draft coming up in not even 2 weeks. Actually, in less than 2 weeks, the CFL draft will be taking place on April 30th. I had in my head that, you know, what did we get our listeners and viewers to learn about some of the draft picks and get to know some of those stories as well? So my thought was, why don't we take a prospective draft prospects and let's get to know their story a little bit. Let them sell themselves to the Canadian Football League, essentially, via us. So we're very excited this evening to be able to be joined by none other than offensive lineman from the University of Calgary, one John Boss. And this was a heck of an interview, folks. So we had a chance to talk with him about the whole draft process, the combine process, and his playing career to date. And I think it's really fascinating. I think you folks are really going to be very excited. I mean, if the Montreal Alouettes are able to get this guy in the draft, be excited, Alouettes Nation, because this is a good dude. And if not, whichever team that is going to acquire his services are definitely getting themselves a bona fide stud.
Exactly. So stay tuned. Stay tuned. That interview will be coming up very shortly. This is one of the times of the year, Cliff, where I love news coming out, not necessarily from the league, but from the Alouettes themselves, because, you know, we already know what the schedule is, but usually finding out what type of theme nights or themes that these games are going to have kind of, you know, puts a pep into everybody's step a little bit more, considering, you know, the possibilities, you know, especially after last year with what the team did when it came to the opener and having OLP. I love hearing about the the themes that the team is going to be having this year. And luckily, just 2 days ago, yesterday that the team went ahead and announced what their themes are going to be. We're going to go over those here real quickly, just and get your quick thoughts too on what they're going to be doing, Cliff. But I mean, obviously we have our preseason game. It's going to be May 25th. You know, they are promoting it as football is back. And as you've pointed out many a time too, and it's something I haven't been able to check out recently to find out when the last time this occurred, this will be the first time that the Alouettes have their preseason game first. They're not going to be hosting it second in the preseason itself. So that's going to be again on May 25th. And here's the big one, Cliff. Here's the big one. The home opener. You know, it's going to be Thursday Night Football, June 20th. It is the game. If you really have to be at a game this year, first of many, obviously, this would be the game to go to, because not only are we going to be unveiling our new Grey Cup banner, not only are they promising us another halftime concert, but I think for the second year in a row, we are getting an early CF-18 flyover by the Canadian Armed Forces. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think if anybody has been to the stadium, Cliff, when they have flown over the stadium, everybody knows how much the body just rumbles just when they come by. And it's such a feeling when they do this. I mean, it's so much fun. And it's a night game, too. That's the funny thing, too. It's a night game also, and they're doing this. I can't wait.
Well, Thursday evening football is definitely a thing, unfortunately, in the Canadian Football League. And I guess it's great for everybody who's not hosting a game, because, again, maybe some people, clearly some people do like Thursday night football. You and I have been very vocal about how we feel about it. We're definitely ambivalent, I guess, to say the least, about it. To me, what's bizarre is the Alouettes are the reigning and defending Grey Cup champions, and their home opener is not the very first game. Like, typically, that's what you see at, like, the Super Bowl champions in the NFL, for example, typically host the first game, like, the very first game of the season being played. Sometimes it's a rematch. Sometimes it's just the home team doing that to unfurl the banner and have all the celebrations and everything like that live in front of their fans and playing another team. But the Alouettes are actually going on the road for the first couple of games and only having their home opener in, like, late June, which is bizarre to say the least. But okay, regardless, it's still gonna be a party. It's still Thursday night, so I mean, it's kind of leading into the whole Saint Jean Baptiste weekend, even though that holiday isn't until Monday. But I imagine a lot of people are going to take the Friday off as well and make it a really long weekend. But if they do, they do. And I guess that's how I'm guessing that's their thought process behind it, as far as selecting this particular day and this particular date of that weekend. But yeah, as you said, though, it's going to be exciting. Yes, we get to see the championship banner unfurled, the eighth championship banner unfurled, getting a flyover, which is always awesome, as you've said, and another concert. Now, I'll tell you what, last year when they announced Our Lady Peace was going to be the halftime show, I was excited. I was jacked, because I'm a huge Our Lady Peace fan. I don't know how you're going to top that, to tell you the truth. I mean, I think we joked about it with Mark Waitman about about getting Taylor Swift to come and perform. Like, you know, I mean, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, he's got Travis Kelce's number. If he can get on the horn with him and can convince his girlfriend to come and do a show, could you imagine, Tim, the sheer magnitude of an event like that?
Oh, the Swifties would come in droves. They would come in droves. We would have our first sellout in years.
You would probably have to move the game to Olympic Stadium. And you could do it, because you wouldn't have to worry about snow on the roof in June. At least I hope you wouldn't.
Yeah.
But if you're going to draw like 60,000 Swifties to a game, that would be the way to do it. But I think that might be a bit of a tall task for the Alouettes to undertake, but I truly am curious to see how they're going to top it, because as far as I'm concerned, you hit a home run with Our Lady Peace. It was an awesome show. You got to be able to equal that or try and top it. So I don't know what the Alouettes have planned. I don't know who they've got on their Rolodex on their contact list to contact and see who would be willing to step up and perform for the Alouettes and Alouettes Nation like that. But I'm really curious to see who it's going to be.
You know what? With all honesty, when it comes to who they're going to choose, I think the plan is simple. It's simple plan.
We've broached the subject.
Yeah, they got Montreal roots. I mean, come on.
Listen, there's any number of great Montreal bands of notoriety, but as I said, like, you kind of hit, you've attained a certain level with Our Lady Peace, and it's just, you got to be careful because some would even say you've got nowhere to go but down. So I sincerely hope that's not the case, but you know what? I think this Alouettes team has, I think you can give them the benefit of the doubt when it comes to something like this at this point. So we'll see what happens. We'll see who they manage to wrangle in to perform for the fans at halftime. But I mean, just if nothing else, you got to come for the banner. You got to come to see the banner unfurls. Come see this team come out of the locker room for the first time. And just it's June. It's football. It's summer. It's everything. So folks, if you don't have your tickets for this, first of all, shame on you. But second, get on it. Get them now.
Exactly. Looking at the list, tell us about the next two theme games.
Well, July 6th is going to be Superhero Night. So I guess if you're Marvel, DC, or whatever your flavor is, definitely. This is, if you want to do the whole cosplay thing, this is your opportunity to do so while watching football. You're also going to get $2 hot dogs for that game, which is always a very popular attraction. $5 tickets for kids age 12 and under. There's a contest, of course, for best costume. So, yeah, listen, it's different. I'll give them that. I'm not really a superhero kind of guy. I mean, I'm definitely not wearing a superhero costume myself. But
I wanted to see you in a green leotard.
I thought about it, but cooler heads have prevailed on that one.
And for the entire game, Cliff, you could talk like this to all the fans. Super Cliff!
And the next game is going to be nice segue, right?
Yeah, perfect.
Next game will be July 11th. This is a very odd title, the 9-1-1 game. Yes, the game is going to be played on July 11th, but when I see 9-1-1, my first thought almost went to 9-11. I'm like, I don't know if you really want to be celebrating that, but to me, it's like, okay, they're celebrating first responders, which I think is fantastic. Police, firefighters, paramedics, like just, you know, the people that we rely on in our most dire times. Why not call it First Responder Night? I mean,
it should have been. I agree. Yeah.
Like 9-1-1 game, just that was an odd choice, a different choice, but okay. I mean, there's certainly a lot of possibilities for that as well. And of course, you know, anything to salute, you know, the heroes, so to speak, like firefighters and people that, firefighters, police, people that put their lives on the line for our safety every day. Yeah, absolutely. I'm all for showing them the respect, showing them the love as well. But just the 9-1-1 game sounded, that was kind of a weird, a weird title, shall we say. But
I agree with you. July 25th, another Thursday game. This is an interesting one. I don't think we've ever had one of these before at the stadium. Cliff, we got a beach party. And on top of that, it's presented by Corona. What, you know, a beach party in Corona, you can't go wrong. It's just,
sure.
And they're going to be bringing the beach to you to the stadium. What does that mean?
I mean, are they going to be selling swimsuits, or are you going to be able to like play volleyball in the fan zone, for example?
Beach volleyball.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, or special seats. Special seats for the game. You're going to be able to sit on those lounge chairs in the ready-made beach in the end zone.
Ooh. You know what? Just underneath the scoreboard, you know those loges right there? Yeah. Turn them into cabanas.
Oh. Yes.
That would be cool.
Yes. The one over by the video board. That's what you're talking about, right? Yeah. The one over, yes. Oh.
Again, this is something you could, it's a little different. You can have a lot of fun with. So why not? Like, go all out. If you're going to do a beach party, let's do a beach party. I mean, like, I want to hear, like, you know, those campy little like songs from the 60s and things like that. And even though I can't stand the Beach Boys, I guess you got to play their songs, you know, throughout the game. I mean, there's a lot of fun you could have with this. And typically, I like those summer days in July can get pretty hot. So, I mean, I would definitely encourage everyone, like, yeah, just come dress for the beach. Why not? And get your tan on, you know, and
that's right.
Listen, there's a lot of fun you could have with this. I like this is something original. I don't think any other CFL team has offered anything even close to this. So
I don't know.
I'm curious to see how it's going to turn out.
Well, I'm all for, you know what, any homage that I can get where Danny and Sandy do continue to meet and then all of a sudden break into it's a song, you know, when we never least expect it. I'm all for it, you know, especially for those summer nights.
Just promise me to leave your Speedo at home.
Oh no. No.
I promise Betty, nothing.
No. Very nice. Very nice. Yes. After that, this is a new one too. And it's on August 10th, Next Gen Football. And I don't, this can, by the way, speaking, by the way, back to the beach party real quick. It says the last sentence, don't forget your coolest beach wear. I can only imagine. The Next Gen Football, not just training future stars on the football. It says not training. We're not just training the future stars on the football field. It's all about the kids taking charge of the stadium.
Oh Lord.
I'm guessing that they will do the announcements over the PA, from lively hosts to DJs to there's nothing like a 5-year-old DJ that can get you pumped. I mean, Baby Shark. to enthusiastic announcers and even leading the national anthem, we're shaping the next generation at every turn. That's gonna be interesting.
That'll be interesting, as long as the kids aren't going to be, you know, playing Nintendo on the big screen, you know, like that's, I mean,
oh yeah.
It'd be kind of fun to do after the game, but not during the game. Let's try to be reasonable about this.
Yeah. Then the one I want to talk about, and then I'll let you get the last three. Sunday, August, and this has me hyped. Sunday, August 25th, and it's something that we've already talked to Mark Waitman about, really in person, and him and I have been going back and forth, and he mentioned something that I had mentioned to him, gave a you know, his reaction to what I said to him. But this is going to be the 50th anniversary of the 1974 Grey Cup Championship. People, you know, different teammates will be there, part of the alumni of that 1974 team. And this is the thing that pumps me up, because that's just the type of guy I am. The players are going to be suiting up in a one-of-a-kind uniform just for the occasion. Now, if anybody knows that time, that was the very first year, 1974, that the Alouettes wore the Delta logo and changed to what we knew of the red, white, and blue uniforms. You know, they just come off from wearing their greens and the horn logo, the French horn logo. So, dude, this can go so far. I can only imagine what this is. I mean, I'm sure we have a couple ideas what it's going to be like, but if these uniforms are, if they are anything like what the Alouettes wore in 2010, oh, I'm going to be so happy.
Oh, big time, because those were just absolute fire. I mean, that was a great game, too, because they played Saskatchewan and they wore their retro uniforms, which they tend to wear for the Labor Day Classic. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like stepping back in time. And I remember that game just being absolutely outstanding for all sorts of reasons. But if they were able to bust out those uniforms again, amazing. And an opportunity to sell them again and just be able to get people excited about, you know, paying homage to the past. I mean, yeah, like let the fans see what it was like back in the day. And now to embrace that with this new team, with the defending Grey Cup championship team, no less. I mean, there's a lot of potential for this to be an all-time classic. I mean, it's just going to be visually appealing more than anything else. And I think that's what I'm going to be really excited about to see with these uniforms. I just hope they're not going to, like, when you say one of a kind uniform, I'm just worried, like, don't overthink this. Like, don't try to make some hybrid faux back or anything like that. Just bring back the uniforms from that time period, obviously updated for today, but like no weird hybrids, no mashups or any of that nonsense. Just keep it simple and just do it proper, because we saw that in 2010 and it was amazing to see and guys like Anthony Calvillo, Ben Cahoon and such rocking those uniforms with their numbers on them was simply outstanding. So can you imagine Cody Fajardo, Tyson Philpott, those guys wearing those classic Delta logo uniforms? Man, if that doesn't get you excited, folks, I truly don't know what will.
And dare we say, could we possibly see, if it is a real homage to this 1974 team, Cliff, that they wear the Delta logo on the front of the helmet? It's possible. That's what it was in 74. So we'll have to see. I'm curious to see what they got up their sleeves. Curious to see what they have up their sleeves.
I'm a little trepidatious when I see one of a kind uniform. I you know, it kind of sends up a red flag a little bit, but I'm really hoping that it's just more just to get people like us talking, for example. And when it's all said and done, they come out with, as we said, those actual uniform, like that actual style, the actual look, as you said, even the Delta logo on the front like that would be absolutely amazing. I think
we have 4 months and I already have FOMO.
There you go. So you're doing something right, I guess.
They're doing something. They got one person at least. What about the last three theme game nights that we have this year?
September 6th is country night, or the country game, I guess they're calling it. It's kind of funny because people in Saskatchewan are complaining because they've had country nights for the past few years and they stopped doing it this year, but not really. Now it's called Prairie Pride, which is essentially country night. Like you're just, you know, like Malibu Stacy with a new hat. That's basically what it is.
Yeah. Or Barbie's cousin Skipper.
Yeah. So yes, folks, if you're into the whole cowboy thing, I know Lasso is a big event here in Montreal. It has really become a big event in Montreal.
It has.
So I guess piggybacking off that, if you've got a cowboy hat, you got boots, you got the whole country twang going on, this is the game for you, because they're going to have a country concert, special beer deals. They're calling it a summer hoedown as well. Like,
oh my. Yeah. Oh so, my!
Yeehaw!
Yeah, I'd say, but they're saying a massive halftime country concert. Could we have two big names really come to Montreal twice this year? Is that possible?
You get Brooks, but not Dunn. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although Garth Brooks, is he a football fan? Could he come up here? I mean, if you want to go massive, I guess that would be the way to do it.
I guess for any price. But there are some. Wouldn't it be fun? Are really the Reclaws? They're not. Are they country still? Are they crossed that mainstream thing where they're like Taylor Swift did? It's funny, we're heading back to Taylor Swift again, where she was country and then she came into pop music. She did sort of the hybrid. Didn't the Reclaws do that too? Obviously, they're most famous for doing the "Long Live the Night" song a couple years back.
A long time ago. Yes. You know what? I don't even know enough about country to even try to BS my way through it. So if they say it's going to be massive, it's going to be massive. So let's just leave it at that and see how they come out with it.
Beyonce, she's country.
Oh my gosh, that's right.
At least in her last album, she is.
If we can't get Taylor Swift for the home opener, let's get Beyonce for this country night.
Why not? Anything's possible with PKP writing the checks. I'm all for it. What's the next? Yeah, what's the next game?
The game that's near and dear to our hearts, and I know to a lot of members of Alouette Nation, is the annual Thanksgiving Day game. October 14th, Thanksgiving Monday, versus the Ottawa Redblacks, as it has been for the past couple of years. This is a game that, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm sure I can speak on your behalf for this as well, Tim, this game sells itself. It's Thanksgiving Day. I mean, that's, we don't have a whole lot of tradition in Montreal. We've talked about this numerous times. We don't have a Labor Day game, especially this year. We're actually, the Owlets are actually on a bye for the Labor Day games. This is our Labor Day game, if you want to call it that. You know the tailgate's going to be rocking. You know that you know they're going to be serving up their, you know, the Thanksgiving buffet as they tend to do. You know that this game is always an absolute blast, rain or shine, mostly rain. But folks, I mean, as I said, this game sells itself as far as I'm concerned. I mean, if you only go to one game this year, it has to be the home opener. But if you're able to go to two, go to the home opener and come out for Thanksgiving Day. I mean, you're probably going to have the day off from work anyway, so, and from school. So why not come watch the Alouettes in action against the Ottawa Red Blacks and just, you know, take in football on the mountain in autumn as it's supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly. And the final one of the year?
Last but certainly not least, our final game of the year is October, or home game, I should say, is October 26th. It's the Pink Game. As you know, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And the CFL for years have always found a way to do the whole pink initiative to have players wearing pink tape on their wrists or their pads, or, you know, just having pink somewhere on their uniforms as a result of breast cancer awareness. And that's exactly what's happening here in Montreal. My hope is that they'll be selling pink t-shirts for fans to participate in this as well with the players. To me, it's a no-brainer. You sell these shirts at a great price. All the proceeds go to breast cancer awareness. I mean, that's, to me, it's a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned. And no doubt this will also be like the fan appreciation game as well. So you know that people are going to come out for that as well. And you're with right, it being the last... Sorry?
I was just saying, you're right. They don't officially have a quote-unquote fan appreciation game. You're right.
I would have to assume... If it's not going to be the Thanksgiving Day, as I said, but that's a event unto itself, then this by default would have to be the fan appreciation game as well. But why not combine the two then as a result? But as far as breast cancer awareness goes and making sure people still realize how important it is, it's not just a matter of wearing pink. It's a matter of, you know, helping to raise funds for that. And, you know, the CFL has been very big on that. All nine teams have participated in this in any number of ways, whether it's just, as I said, wearing pink merchandise or just having the color pink throughout the stadium or what have you. There's always been that sort of opportunity to help let people know about this. And any money raised for this is obviously a huge benefit for everybody involved. So, folks, this is your opportunity as well. So, I mean, that's what the Alouettes have planned for 2024. I mean, there's a lot of events. I mean, this team, this organization has done everything they can to make Montreal football must see. You got to be a part of this. You want to be at the stadium and partaking in this. Like, watching football on TV is great, but there's nothing, absolutely nothing like that live atmosphere. And you now have 10 opportunities in order to do so, possibly 11. So,
yeah, exactly. Can't complain.
This, you now know what to expect come game day as far as what's happening. So I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you don't have your season tickets, you better get on that. Or when single game tickets go on sale, get on that too. So you got more than enough opportunities to be entertained by the Montreal Alouettes in 2024.
Yep. On to some quick news before we get to our interview with Calgary offensive lineman John Boss. First, I just happened to see it on social media today, Cliff. Congratulations to consistent Cody and his wife on the announcement of their new child that they're going to be having in August. So do I dare say, was this a Grey Cup baby and will it be named Earl?
Interesting. Interesting.
Just do the math.
I don't have time for that.
Well, it is August.
Yes, congratulations to Cody and Laura Fajardo for their soon-to-be new arrival. I mean, talk about exciting. I don't know if this new member of the Fajardo family will be born in Canada, thus qualifying as a national player eventually.
Oh, future Alouette member. There we go.
Get that Negla spot ready, Danny. You just never know.
And one other thing I think it surprises us too, by the way, we didn't see this coming, is that surprisingly, Sean Lemon announces retirement from the CFL. You know, he seemed to be one of the big parts of getting a lot of these guys to re-up with Montreal this off season. But man, and he had an extension himself. I don't think we expected this to occur. I mean, he knew he was coming back. It's not like he was going to be sitting at home. But, you know, I guess at 35, it's weird to say this, at 35, he decides to go ahead and retire as a champ. To retire, finish his career as a champion. And, you know, the stories have always started to come out on, I think the Alouettes have written a story too. I think others are talking about in the CFL. Who's going to replace Sean Lemon? It's not to, you know, but we don't want, it's not the time to talk about that now. But man, to lose a leader like him, I know that there are going to be some guys who really need to step up. But even though he was only here for a year, he made a hell of an impact.
Oh, without question. I mean, arguably, he was one of the main reasons why the Alouettes are the 2023 Grey Cup champions. With the play that he brought. And what makes me laugh is he started the season on the sidelines, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Like he was technically supposed to be a member of the BC Lions, but they decided he wasn't it, so they let him go. And he just kind of stayed by the phone, stayed ready for whoever was going to come calling. Lo and behold, it was Danny Machocha that picked up the phone and said, okay, you got to be a part of this team. And sure enough, he comes on board, plays outstanding football, really changes the dynamic of the defensive line, and arguably is one of the main reasons why this Alouettes team are Grey Cup champions. We got to see him at the locker room sale this past December. Was it still November, December?
I think it's just into December.
Just into December. Okay, so this past December, and I remember speaking to him. I said, man, we're so excited because he had just signed his a one-year extension. It was all part about, you know, the whole running it back thing, you know, like coming back with a lot of those guys. And as you said, like the first domino to fall was the extension of Cody Fajardo, his contract. And then after that, other guys just kind of kept falling into place. Guys that eventually were looked at as part of the plan as far as repeating as Grey Cup champions, Sean Lemon being one of those key elements. And I even said, like, man, we're so excited to have you back for 2024. Like you're going to be a big part of the reason why this Alouettes team is going to repeat as Grey Cup champions. And you can see the smile on his face. He was excited. You can see he was really, it seemed to me like he was really excited to him. He's like, let's get the season started now. And that's how excited he was. Mm-hmm. And now after a few months and still being a part of the community here in Montreal, going to a lot of these charity events and other things with the Grey Cup and being out in the community, which I thought was fantastic. Like, this is a guy who really gets it. This is a guy who really wants to be a part of this organization and now decides to take his retirement. And listen, sometimes you have a change of heart. Sometimes you maybe feel, okay, well, I'm currently a Grey Cup champion. And what better way to end my career on than that? Like, the last game that you played, you won the Grey Cup. I mean, that's, talk about going out on a high. Like, that's understandable for a lot of people too. Like, you maybe sometimes it's better to leave a year too soon than a year too late. Maybe that's his thought process too. I don't know, but it was definitely a bit of a surprise. And once again, I think you go back to this whole defensive line for the Montreal Alouettes. I mean, they signed a couple of great players in free agency. They got a couple of young guys waiting in the wings that I guess now will have no choice but to step up in the absence of not just Sean Lemon, but Armando Sewell was not re-signed in free agency. So there's opportunity now to help make this defensive line still a powerhouse in the Canadian Football League. But for to not have Sean Lemon is very surprising. And it's kind of funny, Tim, we had him on the podcast last year. One of the more interesting interviews we've ever conducted.
Yeah.
As if you watch the video of it, he was getting a massage, which was interesting to say the least. You don't see anything naughty, folks, but still, it's just the visual of Sean being, you know, getting a spa treatment. Nothing wrong with that. You got to take care of your body. But it was also funny, too, because we had talked about the fact that he had been a member of just about every CFL club, kind of like Kevin Glenn. The up until last year, the exceptions were Montreal and Hamilton. So I said, so once you help the Alouettes win the Grey Cup, are you, does that mean you're going to go to Hamilton and complete the Kevin Glenn tour? He actually joked and said, yeah, but before I retire, I'm going to sign a one-day contract with the Hamilton Tiger Cats. So he hasn't done that yet, and I truly don't expect him to because, obviously, the legalities of his current contract and extension, all that jazz. But it's kind of funny. He damn near completed the Kevin Glenn tour. He was a member of 8 of the 9 CFL organizations.
Yeah, it would have been cool if he were to have completed the Glenn Slam, I guess we could say. So
yes, and who knows? Maybe they hire him as a coach. Maybe something like that.
That would be funny.
But it's unfortunate that Sean has decided to retire because, as I said, he was absolutely fun to watch. Just a great dude on and off the field. And I guess all we can do at this point is just say thank you for everything you brought to Alouettes Nation. You're going to be fondly remembered. And, oh, yeah, in a couple of weeks, you're going to be getting a Grey Cup ring for sure.
Exactly. 148 CFL games, Cliff, 257 defensive tackles, 101 sacks. We got to see the infamous 100.
Sure
and 31 forced fumbles. As we said, he has played for all teams except for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And again, yes,
he's also scored a touchdown. We got to see him score his first CFL touchdown as well.
You are correct. And I'm sure, you know what, I really hope that at least he is here for the unveiling of the Grey Cup banner. I really do. And obviously, I'm sure he'll be in town for when they give out the rings at the ring ceremony. Mm-hmm. But I really do hope that's that he is here for that game to unfurl the banner and let the fans thank him properly.
Absolutely. I think there'd be no better tribute for what a tremendous career he's had. And yes, he's, even though he's made an impact just about everywhere he's gone, but arguably he's made no bigger impact than the one he made in Montreal this past year. And Alouettes Nation, you got to give him his flowers. You got to give him his props. He did absolutely outstanding for the very short time that he was a member of this organization. He made every second of it count. So we got to give props to that. And as we said, just wish him all the best in retirement. And hopefully he'll still come around and show his face because, I mean, that's just as great as he was on the field, he was even better off of it.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned it at the beginning of the show, Cliff, that we are this close to the upcoming CFL draft, and that we wanted to get the fans accustomed to some of the guys whose names you may be hearing coming up very shortly in the next less than 2 weeks. We spoke with a gentleman. It's such a great interview. I'm sure after you hear this interview, you guys will be more than happy to have him on your team, no matter which team that you do support. And as Cliff and I probably we would have said post interview, we would be happy to have him a part of Alouettes Nation. So without further ado, let's speak with the offensive lineman, John Boss, who is coming from the University of Calgary.
Well, folks, the CFL draft is coming up very, very quickly, and we're trying something a little bit different this year here on the Alouettes Flight Deck. We're giving a draft prospect a chance to introduce himself to you, the listeners and the viewers, and get a chance to basically sell himself to everybody. I've had a chance to watch this young man at the combine. Definitely did amazing stuff, and we are very excited to have him on here this evening. Joining us here on the Alouettes Flight Deck is offensive lineman from the University of Calgary, John Boss. John, welcome to the Alouettes Flight Deck.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here and talk to you guys and talk to all the people listening.
All right,
I was going to ask, by the way, so you're coming from Calgary. So far, Calgary's had a pretty good reputation as of late of players who have come into the CFL, haven't they?
Yes, yeah, yeah. When I first came in, they were coined the, like, CFL factory, as you would say. Like, they send a lot of guys to the league, so, you know.
Yeah, Calgary, University of Laval, those are, like, the football factories here in Canada.
yes, sir, yeah, yeah. So it was a pleasure playing for them and spending my time, my 6 years there.
Wow, sixth. Is that a rare thing when it comes to football and U-Sport?
I would say so. It's because of COVID, it kind of, you know, pushed everything back and everything. So, you know, I you know, when I was playing, everyone would tell me like, oh, wait, how many years you have? I always tell people four. But because of COVID and my redshirt year, it has been six. So it is a pretty long time. Yeah.
Now, do you think that's a blessing or a curse in your case? Because does it give you a chance to put more film together, give you a chance to practice more and work out more of your game? Or is one of those things that's kind of impeding you from, in your mind, maybe you should have been in the CFL or NFL even sooner?
Nah, it's a blessing. Everything happens for a reason, I believe. So, you know, I think being having those 6 years and learning from, you know, vets that played in the CFL, came back, coaches, you know, like having more of that time to work on my craft, to better myself, I believe helped me a lot in this journey. And now I'm here, I'm where I am right now because of all the people that poured into me and all the things that I've learned throughout the years. So I think it's a blessing.
We talked to a couple of guys during the COVID year when we were doing the show and the CFL canceled the season. What was it like being a player in U-Sport? Because I can only imagine what it was where, you know, as I said, you're hoping that you're going to play that year. Nobody played. Yeah. How were you able to stay busy, to stay in shape, to make sure that you were ready for the next time that the Dinos were going to play?
Yeah. Unfortunately, that year I suffered an injury. It was like a weird, super, super weird injury. But I did the surgery during COVID. And I think that's a blessing as well, because if it was during season, it would kind of push me back a little bit. But because it was COVID, there was no games, it gave me that time to recover and time to work myself back into the roster and, you know, prove that I'm still able to do it and all those things. So I think, yeah, just a lot of push-ups in my room. Early morning, tumbling down the stairs, just trying to stay busy. Obviously, I couldn't go outside much, but just trying to, you know, stay active, do sit-ups, you know, just do some rehab in my room and, you know, just stay busy.
At what point were you able to finally do some drills with your players? I mean, I don't remember what the restrictions were like in the province of Alberta, but I know it differed from province to province, but when were you able to finally get some reps with your teammates?
I think beginning of May, started to slow down a little bit. The restrictions kind of just, you know, slowed down a little bit. I think the UFC, I wasn't attending, but the UFC did do like a spring camp, I believe. So it was kind of just like, okay, just getting back into things, beginning of May, late April, that sort of stuff. So it kind of, after that, then, you know, things started rolling again. And by September, it was full swing.
Okay.
Man, it's one of those times that you just, it's funny, it feels like a lifetime ago now, but I mean, it really was only like 4 years ago that you were going through this, and look how far we've come now. I mean, it really is something. And now you're on the cusp of being drafted and getting to start your professional career. I mean, that's going to be, does that weigh on you a little bit as far as like how far you've come and like, or is it just all part of the journey?
Yeah, it's a little surreal. This is something that I've dreamed of like since I was a kid. Since I started playing football, I didn't know the game well. I was, you know, very, very shy, very, you know, mellow. I didn't want to hit people. And, you know, but I always thought like, if there's something that I could do, like football is something that I want to do. And I just dreamt of like where I could go, where the heights that I could take. So it's something that I dreamt of, and it's just surreal living the moment. And obviously the work still goes. I still got to put in work and, you know, do all the right things. But, you know, it's just like, I'm just trying to take everything in because it only happens once. So.
No, that's true. And what led you to offensive lineman, like choosing that as your football position?
I played both ways in high school. I played both ways in my spring league team. I think it was when I first came in 2018, I did spring camp as defensive lineman, and that's where I wanted to go. Before training camp, the defensive coordinator at the time, Matt Berry, which is now with the University of Guelph, he brought me in and sat with me and said, you know, if you want to go to the CFL, if you want to play professionally, offensive lineman is the way to go. And I like took some time and I was like, I want to play D-line. I want to hit people. I want to get to the quarterback. But as you know, after talking to a couple of teammates and, you know, mentors that I had at the time, I made the decision. I was like, okay, I'll play offensive lineman, and just kind of worked through those years to really, you know, perfect my craft as an offensive lineman and, you know, use my athleticism to my advantage.
Well, so, if you think about it too, I mean, that we're seeing how you progressed in your career. Switching may have probably been one of the best things to do when you get drafted for the CFL, because as you've seen, you know, like as an example, like for Montreal, Montreal's always had a huge pedigree when it's come to Canadians starting on the O-line.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, yeah, as you said, yes, you can't hit people as much as you want to, but you know, you're protecting the guy. You're protecting the guy who's behind you, who's trying to get the ball off. So it's
yes, sir. Yeah. And in my experience, it's a lot of hitting too. So, which is what I like to do anyway. So, you know, there's no complaints there.
Yeah. It's like a car crash every week, right? Just smacking pads and
Yes, sir.
All right. Talk to us about your combine experience this year. Did you know what you were expected to do going in? Like, what did you have in mind when you got to Winnipeg as far as what you wanted to show off to people, and when it came to talking to the teams and all that? Like, what did you want to present yourself as far as an athlete goes in the Canadian Football League?
That's a really good question. I honestly didn't come in with any premonitions, or, you know, I came in because I knew I had a goal, and that was to be the best offensive lineman at the combine. And I wanted to prove and show everyone that I am the best offensive lineman in the draft. And I wanted to kind of showcase that. And I had that in my mind every single day, you know, whenever I was doing drills. And, you know, a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of nerves, you know, coming in. But as soon as I did it, the testing and everything, like, it all went away. And I just knew that it's just time to ball. It's just time to play. Mistakes will happen. Things are going to happen that you can't control. But all you can do is just do the little things and just, you know, just ball, just play football. You know, you've been doing it for 10 years. So just do what you love. And yeah, it helped out. So
did you ever really pay attention to the national rankings when it comes to players where everybody is ranked, or does it really in the back of your mind, as you said, you're just there to play football itself, but you know, if it happened to pop up that wherever, did you ever happen to peek on where you may be ranked within the top guys within Canada?
Like I know, before the CFL rankings, before the season came out, you know, guys were hit. I was going to University of Saskatchewan for a preseason game when that dropped, and everyone was like, "John, you're on the top 20." Da, 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 da. And I was like, "Oh, that's super cool." I was very, very excited, very, very grateful for that opportunity. But it wasn't something that like I wanted to keep in my forefront. Like I still have to prove why I'm better. Why I need to. I want to be number one, right? So I think that's something that I like. It was a great experience. I'm very grateful, but I want to always push up, push more. So that was something that I didn't really think a lot about. Just, you know, just play football.
Are you the type of player who's stats driven, or is it just a matter of learning the playbook, making sure you get your assignments right, or you know some players, I'm sure, as I said, you wouldn't get as many. You don't get sacks when you're on the O-line, but yeah. But are you that type of player who's always kept track of your stats, just, you know, or has it been like, nah, let's just play?
Not really. No, like if someone has a sack on me, that's gonna I'm gonna have nightmares about that for a good while, you know. I tend to not look at, like, you know, stats and rankings and all those things. I want to just do the best I can and, you know, compete against myself every single day, and not just feed into the, you know, the whole gratification and trying to, you know, all that thing. I always want to just play football, do my best, make my parents proud, and, you know, just do the best I can every day. So.
Yeah. And shoot for the ring. And shoot, yes, for the,
sir,
ring, obviously.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Obviously. Always want to get that one, man. That piece of jewelry is super important, man.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. What about the interview process? Like, obviously, you had no doubt had a chance to talk to all 9 CFL general managers and their scouts and all those guys. Take us through that process our average listener probably has no idea what that involves, but yeah. Can you kind of take us behind the scenes a little bit and just explain to us the kind of the process as far as interviewing with each and every team?
Yeah. All of it happened in the hotel. You know, just make sure you look dapper, look good, you know, present yourself well in front of the teams, the GMs. It was a little bit nerve-wracking, man. Like, first, it's like a job interview, right? You want to do well. You want to impress your employers. And I tried to just, you know, do that. I interviewed with online teams, thank God. And I was able to talk to every team. And, you know, some teams were very harsh to the point, but some teams were very laid back, very chill, wanted to know me as a person. So a lot of those interviews, it was, you know, it's a little bit nerve-wracking, but once you just got the flow of it, you know, by interview number three, I was like, okay, you know, just be myself, just present myself the way I can, and I know who I am, so just show the team who I am, technically. So.
Okay. I've heard stories of players, at least in the NFL combine process with the interviews, being asked some really weird questions. Were you asked any weird questions or just like straightforward stuff?
I was asked once, one of the teams asked me, if I've ever played a fullback. and to me, that was a weird question, but I think it was just a question trying to get me off my ball, trying to, you know, get me on my heels a little bit. That was like one of the weird questions I would say that I got, but nothing crazy though.
That would be interesting. I, you know, if I'm a defensive line, I see you lining up behind center. oh crap.
I would not be opposed. If a team put me at fullback, I would not be opposed. I just want to hit. Like, I love it. I love it.
Well, that's it. Just give you the rock and just let you go through. Oh my gosh. Good luck trying to stop you.
Let's go.
I think that's something that like a wildcat formation or something like that. Drafts you is going to have to keep that in mind. I think that might not be a bad idea.
Yeah, no, definitely. We in the 2019 season when we won the Vanier that year, we tried, the coach, the OC at the time, Pat Sheehan, tried to get me the rock in some scenarios with the goal line formation and stuff. Ooh. You know, that didn't work back then, but, you know, I've grown as a player and I'm able to, you know, I'm able to catch if a team decides, hey, let's throw John the rock, I'm not opposed to it. So, you know, for a wildcat formation, anything, goal line, I'm ready.
I'll take a big man touchdown, won't you, Cliff? I'll take a big man touchdown any day, any day.
Six, baby. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
I'm all for that.
Hey, John, what got you into football, man? I mean, it's, as I said, I mean, you've been at U of C for, I mean, I said basically 6 years. But what really got you into football? What led to your you signing with the UFC?
It was just a hometown, you know, from Calgary, played football, started in grade 8. And it was just like one of those like stories where like you're one of the guys that was playing football for a spring league team, seeing me, was like, you're big, like, come play. So I just started that summer playing football. And then, you know, I went to like a very low level school, Northeast school in Calgary, Lester B. Pearson, and didn't really get any offers, but, you know, UFC was on one offer I got, and I rode with them ever since. So, yeah, that was my reason for going. It was just a hometown, close to my mom, close to family. They're a really, really great program. So it was like, I have to stay. There's no, you know, it was like the top school already chose me. So there's no need for me to get anything else. So.
Yeah. Did you play any other sports too? Because I know a lot of the players that we've spoken to before in the past, they played, they're like a double sport player, like Geno Lewis, as an example. He played basketball. I mean, no surprise there. I mean, considering his history with that. But did you play any other sport besides football?
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, basketball, man. That's my second love, man. I wanted to make it pro in basketball, and then I seen LeBron's height. And I figured like the same height. So I'm like, I'm not trying to handle the ball. I'm not really good at handling the ball. So I stuck with football.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you could be a good power forward.
I could try. It was just the conditioning always got me every year. The conditioning, the suicides always got me. So, you know, I decided to, you know, let me just be a big man in football. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's fair. I would probably feel the exact same way.
Yeah, I remember suicides when I was in high school. Yeah, I don't know. No. you're just done. Yeah. Listen, you know what? Talk a little bit, since you mentioned, talk a little bit about winning the Vanier Cup. I mean, you won a championship. You got a ring. I mean, tell us about what that experience was like.
Man, it was surreal, man. It was crazy. Like, seeing those players, that team that year was like one of the craziest team I've ever been a part of, you know, and I'm just like a second year coming in. Like, I knew I wasn't going to start that year. I wasn't the lineup, the offensive line lineup was already super stacked, but I was just so grateful to be like a goal line field goal player and to be in the same room learning from those guys, those vets, and just the D linemen that we had, the DBs, the quarterback, Adam Sinagra that we had that year. Just that team was surreal. And just playing in Quebec City was like none other. Like, University of Calgary, the fan base, love them. But the Quebec Laval fan base is like no other. I don't know. I've never played in a stadium like that, packed, you know, and obviously we're playing against Montreal and they hate Montreal. So, you know, we're literally just like, they're cheering for us. And it was like, we had a whole crowd just behind us cheering for us to win that Vanier. So it was an extreme feeling, an extreme place to be winning, especially winning after two, man. Yeah. And then came down to Montreal to catch our flight the next day. And man, being in Saint Laurent, the street, mm-hmm. man, like it was just that's something I always have in my mind, being in Montreal, like traveling with the guys after partying. Man, it was a great, great, great experience.
Now, interesting to note, the head coach of the University of Montreal that you won your Vanier Cup against was Alouettes general manager Danny Machocha. Do you think Do you remember you playing in that game?
Probably not, to be honest. I think I got like one play in. It was like a short yardage. I added an extra old lineman. That was it. You know, I don't think he fully remembers me. But you know, I think, you know, it's funny how life goes full circle moment. Now I could potentially play for him. So, yeah.
So it was probably a good idea not to wear the Vanny Cup ring as a flex.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Yeah. It's in a safe box in my house with my mom. He's not coming with me wherever I go. So
at least not for the Montreal interviews anyways. Yes.
definitely. Yeah.
As we're, you know, we're coming up to the draft itself. I mean, how are you feeling, John? I mean, it's, you know, not very many players have, you know, had that really good chance of being drafted, whether it be, you know, NFL and in any sport. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling as we're getting closer to the draft day?
I feel great, man. Like, honestly, like it's all like at this point, I've done everything I could do, and I've impressed. I've, you know, tried my best. I did everything that, you know, I wanted. I went out there to try to achieve. And now it's just working and just being the best I can be for now and just giving it all to God, just let him decide and let him put it all in his hands. I'm not too worried. I'm not whichever round I go in, that whatever team picks me, they're going to get a dog. They're going to get a person who grinds and who persists and who gets after it. So I'm not too worried wherever I go, honestly. I just want to be the best player for I can be right now and just build on, you know, what I learned in the combine and from those coaches.
Yeah. Just go in and just get to work.
Yes.
That's excellent. Are you planning to do a draft party? Are your folks planning to do anything for you on draft day, or is it just chill with your buddies and just wait and see where you land?
I don't know. Like, me and my trainer were talking about it earlier today at Lifts. He was asking me if he wanted to do some. I don't know. I might do some at the gym with like all the guys that I train with. I trained with a couple CFL players already, and just have my parents there, have those guys there. Just chill. Honestly, nothing crazy. I don't want to do the whole fireworks, everything. I just want to just relax. Just relax.
Who do you train with? Since you mentioned it, who do you train with?
I trained with Jack Swagger out of Most Physical Prep. Yeah. And are you asking my trainer?
Either or, both.
I trained with Micah Tights. He just got linebacker from Sask. He's with Calgary. Jake Hardy, who was in Montreal, yep. And now he's mm-hmm. in BC. I trained with Quadro Bowman, who's at University or Stampeders. List goes on, like O-line Shane Richards from Toronto. I trained with Jeshron Antwi, who's a running back from Montreal. Okay. So, you know, and he's like a father figure. He's like a big mentor for me. Love him to death, man. That's my guy. When I first came in, he was the guy that kind of showed me the ropes and showed me, you know, we were both kind of similar places we grew up, showed me everything. So now just training with him, you know, seeing his son that he had just had, I'm just very, very, very grateful to just be in that group.
I was about to say, Cliff Jeshurun can actually show him how to do the onside punt too now since he's been able to do it this past season.
I'm telling you, you cannot leave anything to chance right now. And yes, if Jeshurun's going to take you under his wing, you could do far worse as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's what we're talking about. Like, we're just, you know, playing around a little bit in the gym. And I was like, man, like, if I got to block for you, that'd be like a blessing because he's someone I look up to tremendously. So.
See, that's it. And you like to say, if Montreal does call your name, you know, you've got family waiting for you in the 514. So
most definitely. Yes, sir.
All right. Before we let you go, John, just basically let everybody know, you said it yourself already. Yes. Whoever drafts you is getting a dog, but expand on that. Let people know exactly what they're going to get. What can they expect out of John Boss if their team selects him on April 30th?
Well, to expand on that, yeah, like I'm someone who've dealt with a lot of adversity, and I'm not the only one. A lot of guys in the league have dealt with adversity, right? But for me, I'm not someone who takes lightly in losing. I don't like to lose. And I want to win. I want to win. I'll find a way to win, you know? And I know, especially in the pro level, it's way harder. It's a way different league than U Sport. But I truly, truly, truly believe that, like, however hard it is, I've worked so hard in this moment for this moment that, like, quitting is not an option. So whatever it takes, if I have to be a PR player for a year and, you know, work my way up, that's something I'm willing to do. If I have to, you know, learn from the vets or, you know, start right away, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to win and whatever the team needs for me to win. And that's the type of player I am, the type of person I am. And I want to give that to whatever organization has that trust in me to do the best I can. So,
well, listen, I think if you were to ask any of the other 9 teams in this league what kind of player they're looking for, that's exactly that. That's the kind of guy you want on your team, is someone that is willing to roll up their sleeves, get to work, and do whatever it takes to help better the team, help better the organization. I mean, that you can't ask for better than that as far as I'm concerned.
And one hell of a last name. I'll take your last name.
Listen, don't cross the boss.
Yes, sir. I told my when we were in high school, my coach told me, like, your name is like you'll be in the league for sure. That's what he told me. Like, with that last name, you'll be in the league. So now this is a crazy full circle moment that it's gonna happen. So yeah.
There you go. It's just a matter of where you're gonna land, my man. That's really what it comes down to now.
Yes, sir.
All right. Listen, before we let you go, how do we find you on social media? How do our listeners and viewers connect with you on social media?
Yeah, I'm not much of a social media guy. I have an Instagram, but there's not really much on it. But if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's _j.boss, BOSSE. And that's basically it. That's all I have, you know, just kind of keep it low key. Hopefully, you know, when I'm in the league, maybe I'll post a little in-game action. But for now, it's just a little low key, you know, Instagram thing. So,
all right. Well, like as I said, there's no doubt in my mind. Come April 30th, you're going to land somewhere. We're really hoping it's Montreal because we definitely like what we have to hear so far. But no matter what, I think it's safe to say Tim and I will be rooting for you regardless of where you go. Just if you're drafted by a team that's not the Alouettes, just kind of take it easy on us a little bit.
For sure.
We don't want to cross the boss.
But there you go. Most definitely, man. I hope to see you guys on the sidelines, see you guys, you know, around and actually in person and get to talk with you guys in person. So yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity.
So I said at the beginning, right before we did the interview itself, Cliff, I'm not going to say it again, but oh, what the hell? I'd be happy to have him a part of Alouettes Nation.
1,000%. I mean, what a great guy. I mean, just his energy is infectious. You can see he's ready to go. He's ready to be a professional football player. I obviously have no insight as to what direction the Alouettes are going. If they feel like they need another offensive lineman, quite frankly, even if they didn't think they did, just on his attitude alone and his work ethic and everything that he's going to bring to a potential football team, the Alouettes would definitely have to find a way to get this guy on the team. I mean, I think we just, based on everything we saw and heard from him, I think he would be a great, great fit in Alouettes Nation. And again, he talked about, you know, being close with Jeshman Antwi. I mean, who better to show him the ropes here in Montreal than a fellow Calgary Dino? I mean, that to me, that's just perfect. So if there's a way, some way, somehow that Montreal can acquire his services, I think we'd both be very thrilled to see him in training camp this year. If not, whichever team is going to select him, that fan base has to know that they're getting a hard worker and a great guy all around, no matter what. So once again, thank you so much, John, for joining us on the Alouettes Flight Deck. We wish you nothing but the best for your career, whether it's here in Montreal or elsewhere. You know, we're going to be rooting for you no matter what.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, dude. Before we, I know Cliff did something really actually pretty cool this week. We're talking about the draft here, but he did something pretty cool that I know he wants to share with all of our listeners and viewers. Just want to remind everybody that we are on social media. There are many places you can find us. You can find us over on Twitter/X at Alouettes FL Deck. You can find us over on Facebook at Alouettes Flight Deck Pod. And you can also find us on Instagram and YouTube over at Alouettes Flight Deck. Don't forget, if you've missed any of our shows, you can head over to our archive and our main homepage at www.alouettesflightdeck.ca. And if you're looking to grab some merch to rep the podcast, whether it be now or at the upcoming training camp in St. Jerome, make sure that you head over to www.flightdeckgear.ca, where we have also released three new items for our 2024 merch line, which I'm sure everybody will like going forward. But and hey, you also have the championship We the One t-shirts are still available. So go ahead and grab one of those and celebrate the Alouettes Grey Cup championship like we always are. We're just having fun doing it. We're just on a giant high, and we'll be able to do it all season long. And a quick thing too, we are over on Blue Sky, all three of us, us, the pod. He can find us, just look up Cliffy D, me, Tim Capper, or the Flight Deck, and you'll find us there. And also, as you can see here, I am also on Twitter. That's at Repact, REPPAZT, and you can find Cliff at Cliffy D. So as I mentioned to you before, Bud, you did something pretty cool. And we were talking about the, you know, with John earlier about the draft possibilities, but you did something interesting. I don't think you've ever done it before, at least since I've known you, at least I don't think you have, but you did something pretty cool this past week, right?
Yeah. I got to participate in a live mock draft with the Canadian Football Fanatics podcast. Cole and Blake have been doing really great stuff over the offseason as well. And also, too, ramping up for the draft as well, interviewing other draft prospects on their show. And they asked if I'd be willing to come on and sort of act as the Alouettes GM and try to see if I can give some insight as to which direction they'd be going in. I thought, sure, I think it'd be great. I mean, on my blog, The Alouettes Heard of, many years ago, I would always try to prognosticate, try to see which direction the Alouettes would be going in when it comes to their draft. And I always found it to be an interesting exercise just to see, try to see if I could identify any needs that the Alouettes had, or do they just go with the best player available? As we talked about with Danny Machocha a couple weeks ago, the goal is always to go with the best player available. So that was my thought process going in. Okay, I don't know. We had other fans and podcasters and what have you participating in this mock draft, and it was kind of interesting to see where their heads were at, like which direction they thought their team was going to go, because Montreal obviously with the ninth pick, so I had to wait and see where everybody else was going to go first, and I kind of had an idea of where certain players were going to go, and just based on what was happening, which direction should the Alouettes go. And ultimately, for my first round pick, I ended up choosing Luke Brubacher from Laurier Golden Hawks, simply because with the retirement of Sean Lemon, I thought, okay, this is yet another opportunity to help bolster the defensive line. And what better way to do it than with a guy who is ranked very highly when it comes to defensive linemen, someone who I think will be a true game breaker. I would not be mad at all to see this guy in Alouette colors. So that was the choice I made. And then I had to wait until the third round. And by then, a lot of great players had come and gone. So I made a list, and I'm like just crossing off as someone gets selected. I'm like, nope, 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 dang, nope, nope. So thankfully, though, and yes, unfortunately, John Boss was already taken. So I would have loved to have drafted him as a result, but I think it was Andrew from the Turf District podcast, I think, who ended up. Oh no, sorry, it was Calgary. My apologies, Mark Steven, voice of the Calgary Stampeders, who ended up taking John Boss, keeping him in Calgary. So, with that in mind, okay, well, at that point, it was only a three round. It was only the first three rounds that ended up being a part of this. This mock draft show. So I guess you had the last pick, if you will. Mm-hmm. So I ended up going with Justin Samba, another defensive lineman, another guy who cut from the same cloth as one Lawal Ugalak, young man out of from the Edmonton area who played with or played against Lawal. So he knew him well. And he said, like, that's the career path I want to follow. Like, that's the. And for the most part, that's what he's done. Coming out of Baylor University, just like Lawal came out of TCU, got the NCAA experience, definitely a high motor, definitely someone who I think would be a great fit for Alouette's Nation as well. And if he's half the player that Lawal ended up being for us last year, then yeah, you'd be very excited if the Alouettes were able to acquire his services. So just a great experiment for us podcasters / fans to sort of get an idea of where the team's going, trying to figure out what direction they may be heading. So, I mean, if the Alouettes do end up drafting the players that I suggested, be very excited, without question. And as we said, if there's some way, somehow, that the Alouettes can find a way to get John Boss onto this team, we'd be excited as well. Just based on the interview that we had with him, you can tell he'd be a great fit no matter what. But I think he would truly be a great fit here in Montreal, so if the Alouettes can find a way to make that happen, that'd be great. So it's just, to me, this is just what helps wet the whistle for the draft coming up. Like, what direction is this team going to go based on all sorts of factors? As I said, the Alouettes don't really have any glaring needs. Like, they don't have to draft out of desperation. They can truly wait and see the best player that becomes available to them. And Danny Machocha had talked about that's the way it's going to go. It doesn't necessarily have to be a Quebecer, but as a lot of people were, a lot of the mock drafts I'm seeing is they think that Danny's just going to go all Quebec again. And if he does, he does. But I think truly the past couple of drafts have shown us that he's not afraid to go with players who weren't born in Quebec, but they truly were the best players that were available and guys that have ended up making big impacts. Tyson Philpott, Lawal Ugalak are just great examples right there. Tyrell Richards, I know, is going to be a breakout star as well. So
yep.
Like, these are guys that, you know, you may not, when they get drafted, you may not know them from a hole in the wall, but give them the opportunity, give them the chance to grow and learn in this environment, and big things are going to happen. Again, I don't have to tell you how Tyson Philpott has developed into the star that he did. Lawal Ugalak.
Another dino, enough by said. The way.
Yes, that's right. Tyson was a former Calgary Dino. So, I mean, I you know what's funny? We talked about this with John, is that Danny Machocha, his last game as head coach of the Caribbean, was against those Calgary Dinos. So we got to see a lot of them in action. So maybe losing to that team, maybe it just got him thinking, like, okay, there's clearly a lot of talent there. If they were able to beat my squad, maybe those are the guys I want if I'm ever in a position of power in the Canadian Football League. Lo and behold, now as general manager of the Montreal Alouettes, mm-hmm. he has an opportunity, and he's gone ahead and he's done that. Getting a Tyson Philpott, maybe getting a John Boss. We'll see. But I think, as I said, this was a fun experiment. I can't thank Cole and Blake enough for inviting me to be a part of this on the Canadian Football Fanatics podcast. And definitely check it out if you have a chance. I tweeted out the links from the Flight Deck account. It was just a fun afternoon of football prognosticating and so much more. And if this doesn't get you excited for the draft, truly, I don't know what will.
Actually, it's funny you mentioned the draft, Cliff, because we know when the draft's supposed to be. It's supposed to be, it's 12 days. I think it's 12 days? 12 days from today.
April 30th.
Yep. And because of said thing, and because of just how the schedule went goes this year, and us having to take an extra week because of reasons for getting interview with Coach Moss, the Alouettes Flight Deck Podcast will be back on their weekly schedule as of next week. And we are, as we do every year, planning on having having a guest that will help us talk about the draft and lead us up to that infamous day in 12 days.
Absolutely. We're so excited to be able to have that. Again, it a lot of people may not really truly see the value of the CFL draft, but to me, it's important to just keep an eye on the future, like where this team is going down the road, and try to get an idea of what their thought is as far as, you know, planning for the future. And you know that I'm in the process now of trying to finalize who our guest will be for next week, but guarantee that this will be someone who knows the draft, understands and appreciates what goes into it, and will hopefully help us navigate that and just kind of share a little bit of insight as to where the Canadian football draft is going to evolve into now and how it's going to affect the Montreal Alouettes as a result. So folks, if I keep saying this, like, subscribe, make sure you're a part of this, make sure you're following us on social media, however it is that you consume the Alouettes Flight Deck Podcast, make sure you're on board because you do not want to miss it. As Tim said, as of next week, we go weekly from now till the end of the season. Hopefully that'll be late November, early December, but we want you along for the ride. So make sure you like, you comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. Links, if you're watching on YouTube, down below here. We rattled them off to you earlier on, so make sure you're following, make sure you're subscribed. Whatever it is that you got to do, make sure you're on board with us because it's go time.
Yep, and make sure you check out our socials because some of these shows will be live. We love talking to you guys live. Puts us under more pressure. Puts us under more pressure, and that's what we like. I mean, so it's, but so stay tuned for that. So again, we will see you guys next week. For any other information, make sure you check out all of our socials. So for everybody here at the Alouettes Flight Deck, for Cliffy D, I'm Tim Capper. We're on Final Approach.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.